Welcome to the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, when you say that, it often sounds like ordinary, just commonplace, run-of-the-mill. Actually, what the church means liturgically is this is the way the year is ordered, according to, you know, the various themes. But let me play on that word ordinary a little bit. Realize in our spiritual life, it's the ordinary we develop. Most of the aspects and experiences that we have. In the ordinary, the day-to-day run-of-the-mill operation in our homes, in our relationships, at work, we are building experiences which we draw upon. If I were to ask any of you to go back basically to your high school days, I would venture to say it wouldn't be graduation. You'd pick out certain things that happened to you during that period of time of 4 years. Maybe those of us were a little slower, 5 years. You know, in that period of time, be it high school or be it college, you'd pick out certain things that happened, certain experiences, certain moments that kind of developed, that highlighted. Graduation would be kind of the pinnacle. It would be just like the first day of entrance, or it would be now the last day. It would be a celebration of basically accomplishment. Let me offer to you that in ordinary time is a time that the focus is on us to develop the relationship, to go forward with what has been given to us as gift. And in this second Sunday of ordinary time, we celebrate a call. We celebrate the call, Samuel with the prophet Eli, when all of a sudden God is calling him internally. We can resonate with that because I believe that every one of us understands that there is an innate call from God to us, to understand God's presence in our life, to embrace the spiritual. If there's one criticism of our modern age, it's the fact that we do not embrace the spiritual. Oh, we have many wonderful things and a tremendous amount of accomplishments that we in our modern society have achieved. But oftentimes we do not look to the influence of the Spirit among us, to what God is calling us to do through these achievements. We rather look and rely upon ourselves, and we bury the call. You know, we bury the call. We don't respond to it. Yet God is persistent, just like he was persistent in the first reading. He calls again and again and again. Of course, St. Paul takes already the Spirit and the call that he has, and he begins to share it. He shares it with those various communities, and in this passage he shares it with the Corinthians. The body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. So we're talking always in terms of understanding God's presence in our life and responding to the spiritual. I believe when we come to the gospel that we have kind of a pattern of the spiritual life. And really it's a pattern of friendship. I'm going to call upon a very, very basic look upon that. And the first is recognition. What does John do? John points out the Lord Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, I'm going to say that shortly here in the Eucharist. When the power of the church, through the act of the priesthood, confects that Eucharist and that bread becomes his body and his blood, I'm going to hold it up and I'm going to say to you, "Behold the Lamb of God." Recognize that this is Jesus. This is the Anointed One. This is the Messiah. And he's offered himself totally and completely to you. In our society, when we think, "Behold the Lamb of God," we think of those little cuddly little lambs that you kind of hold and trust in your arms. Well, but John is saying, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is the one who's going to be sacrificed for you. This is the Lamb who's going to give his life for you." The sacrifice of the Lamb was the sacrifice of the Israelite community before God. in recognition of expiation of sins, recognition of our oneness. This is the Lamb of God. And John, not acknowledging his presence, his leadership, but points to the one who completes everything. He says, there he is. That's the Lamb of God. In every friendship, the first aspect is a recognition. Now that recognition may be attraction, could be physical attraction. That recognition could be personality. That recognition could be vision. But there's something that pulls that person in that we desire immediately to become more involved with. That we desire to become more involved with. You know, if you take a look at it, take a look at any of your friendships, and I would say especially your close friendships, those people who know you so well and you know them well, and take a look at that first moment. Why did you become friends? You'll take a look at, in yourself, you recognize something in them. You recognize something. Maybe a common bond, maybe a commonality, maybe something that they possessed that you admired. Recognize something in them. But as all friendships, the friendships proceed when there's a mutuality. When there's a mutuality. And you take a look at what happened in the gospel. You take a look at after John points out and they recognize the uniqueness of this person, they come and they ask questions. And Andrew says, what? Says, where are you staying? And Jesus sees him coming. He says, what are you looking for? He says, where are you staying? Andrew says. It's kind of key. I want to know your home. I want to know your roots. I want to know. Now, that invitation is coming from someone recognizing that attractiveness. They're already recognizing this uniqueness in Jesus. He is the Lamb of God. He was pointed out by John. And now, do we enter into a friendship? Well, we ask, where are you staying? Now it's up to the person to respond, the friend. And of course, Jesus says, come, and you will see. Come. Do we come? Andrew, of course, and the disciples with him did. In preparing a couple for marriage, I will usually ask them, you know, when I have them before me, we go through kind of the various aspects, and those of you who are married, you know, you went through periods of time where you met with the priest, and the priest asked various things. And there's one question that I always kind of pose to the couple. I always ask them, when did you know? You know, I mean, listen, that same question is asked me as a bishop, as a priest. When did I know? When was the time that I remember? What was the first moment that I remember? But I'll ask the couple, I said, when did you know? I mean, there are certain aspects, you know, of indifference in the relationship. Sometimes, you know, a couple had been together since, like I said, high school, and sometimes in grammar school days, they were basically together. But when did you know? When did you know this was the moment that you asked the question? That you popped the question? When did you know? What moment was it that said, no, this is not just an ordinary, run-of-the-mill aspect, but this is the moment. And I'll get some very interesting questions. You know, I'll say, well, what do you mean by that, Father? What do you mean? And I'll say, was there a moment when you said, this is a fulfillment of my own personal calling to what I should be? And I'll get interesting answers. Some will tell me, and oftentimes it differs. You know, the man will oftentimes say, well, you know, I remember going out to dinner one evening, And we always went out to dinner. We were friends and always went out to dinner. And for some reason, I looked upon her and I said, this could be the person I want to spend my life with. This could be the mother of the family that I want to develop. This could be. And then I said, yes, I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask and invite. Oftentimes with the woman, I will get a quicker response. Oh, I knew that months ahead of time. The insight. And I knew it because I saw in him the various qualities and characteristics of someone that I could share my life with. Look at those answers, and take a look at Jesus' invitation. Come and see the characteristics that Jesus possesses, the invitation that he offers to enter into a relationship. The significance of the depth of the moment is right here in John's gospel. And notice what happens after that. The first thing, and that's true for every individual who is involved with love, whether it's a love relationship of friendship, whether it's a love relationship in terms of marriage, is what you want to do is you want to share that relationship. You want to proclaim it. You want individuals to know about it. And you want individuals to know your friend. That's what Andrew does when he invites Peter, his brother. Come on. I found him. He's the one. You are going to be amazed at what I discovered. And Jesus, of course, names Peter. Why does he do that? You'll be called Cephas, which is Peter, for he was Simon. Why does he do that? He claims him. There's a claiming in the relationship. There's a claim that Jesus makes upon Peter. Well, I'm going to offer you, to all of us, and myself also, to reflect upon during these times, during these moments, quotes, of ordinary time, to think and reflect about the relationship that's been offered to you. To think about that relationship and to allow yourself to grow deeper in an understanding of the presence of the mystery that's been offered to you. To recognize the Lamb. To receive Jesus' invitation. And then critically, to proclaim him to others. Where would we all be if the Lord demanded that before we receive our eternal reward, we had to replace another Christian in his name through our example? How many converts have come into the faith because of our example? How many people have we invited to know the Lord that we know? It's a challenge. And in this Christian Unity Week, we as individuals highlight that which makes us one in the person of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.